Hello again, I'm Sean Kelly, the voice of the Gators, and welcome to the Gator Tales with Sean Kelly podcast. Hi again, everybody, from my office inside the Swamp, here on the eve of a very big orange and blue weekend on campus in Gainesville. 3 days for you to take in all kinds of Gators athletics as we get set for the end of spring football. That's kind of the center of the weekend, and we have a number of our spring teams home this weekend. I'll get to the schedule here in just a second. My guests on the podcast today help us lead up to Orange and Blue weekend. We're going to introduce you to one of the new Gators football players and visit with a legend from the Gators track and field program. Mike Holloway, the longtime legendary Hall of Fame coach, have the men's side at number 2 in the country and the women at number 12 heading into this weekend's Tom Jones Memorial Invitational. We'll talk about the big weekend coming up, and we'll touch upon Coach Holloway's philosophy, what's made him successful, and what he sees in his 2024 outdoor team. Then this weekend inside the Swamp, Gators fans are going to get a chance to see one of their new wide receivers. He could end up being a starter and a star for the Gators. He will wear number 17. His name is Shamari DK, a transfer from Wisconsin. He has a great story and, of course, a relationship with Gators starting quarterback Graham Mertz. Kenna McGinnis is also back with Kenna on campus to recap the Gators' results from this past week. And Scott Strickland, Director of Athletics, is back again for another segment of Ask the AD. Let's get to the Orange and Blue weekend schedule. And I meant what I said earlier, 3 days packed with activities on campus. On Friday, the Tom Jones Memorial Invitational Track and Field event begins at James G. Presley Stadium. Free admission all day. Baseball begins a series against South Carolina at Conrad Family Ballpark starting at 6:30. On Saturday, track and field continues. The Gatorland Fan Fest begins at 9 a.m. on the north lawn at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. Women's tennis takes on South Carolina at the Alfred A. Ring Tennis Complex. Free admission beginning at 11. Volleyball will have an exhibition match against Georgia Tech at the Lemurand Athletic Center. Also free admission. That also begins at 11 a.m. Lacrosse is home against James Madison at 11:30. The Orange and Blue spring football game kicks off at 1 o'clock. Free admission at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium. The football game is presented by Florida Victorious. And then at 4 o'clock on Saturday, game 2 of the baseball series versus South Carolina. And tickets are available at FloridaGators.com. Orange and Blue weekend wraps up on Sunday with baseball versus South Carolina at noon and men's tennis versus South Carolina also beginning at noon. That event is free to all Gators fans. So, very busy weekend ahead. A couple of great interviews to help set the stage. And, of course, another visit with Athletic Director Scott Strickland. Let's start with Florida Gators wide receiver Chim DK gets us going here on this week's Gator Tales podcast with Sean Kelly. Gator Tales with Sean Kelly is presented by UF Health. UF Health has locations throughout Florida, including Gainesville, Jacksonville, St. Augustine, Leesburg, and the Villages, and we're growing. Compassionate care and world-class outcomes, that's our game plan. Visit ufhealth.org to learn more. Our podcast is also brought to you by Pet Paradise. Gator fans, for pet fanatics like you, there's only one place who goes all out for your pet the way you do. Boarding, grooming, day camp, and veterinary services all in one convenient location. Pet Paradise and New Day Veterinary Care. Finally, complete pet health care is here for Gator Nation. The Orange and Blue football game is this weekend inside the Swamp, and a lot of Gator fans will see number 17 for the first time. Shamari DK. Did I get the name right?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Pretty close?
Yeah, that was a good pronunciation.
I know a lot of people just kind of just wimp out and call you Chim, but yeah. Do you like that too, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been called by my friends all my life, so it's doesn't matter to me.
Do you love the name?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's unique. My dad gave it to me. My dad's from Nigeria. It means God's gift. So I think it's a pretty good one.
I love that story. And there's a great story about your parents too. We'll get to that in a moment. But you're entering in here as a Florida Gator at the wide receiver position, and you have, of course, a relationship with Graham Mertz as you transferred from Wisconsin. So far, so good here in Gainesville?
Yeah, it's been awesome. Spring ball has been great. Be able to get out there and play ball, do what we love to do. I don't think it's much better than that.
I don't want to give Graham Mertz too much credit here, so tell me the other reasons why you came to Florida as a graduate student.
Yeah, I mean, Graham obviously had a influence on that, but being able to get on campus, see Coach Napier, his vision, and the man he is, as well as Coach Gonzalez, all my teammates in the receiver room, all my teammates, just the vision and the hard work ethic that they have, I want to be a part of impacting that and helping move the program in the right direction.
Jim, it's one thing to go to a place or study a situation and say, I think I'd be a good fit there, or I think I know how they run things there. What's the difference between what you studied as far as the transfer process and what you've come to know here after being here a couple of months?
No, I mean, it's what I thought. Coach Napier's a super detailed guy. You can tell that the first time you meet him. The offense, the things that I saw that I liked in the portal that I feel like I could fit and help with the team, I feel like that has been coming to fruition. So it's nice when things work out, and obviously we still have a lot of work ahead of us, and the most important stuff's yet to come, but so far so good.
Was the weather as advertised as well?
It is. It's getting to midsummer for me right now. So the guys say that I have something to get ready for this summer. This gets pretty hot in August, but they thought it was cold when it was 45. So I guess we both have the kind of opposite end of the spectrums.
So does a young man from Waukesha, Wisconsin, tell those guys to toughen up a little bit when it's 45 degrees?
Yeah, it was 45, and I found myself after a couple of weeks being like, oh, it's a little chilly this morning. And then I'd look at my weather app and see it was -4 back home. So I'd be like, you know what, my mom, my sisters, and my dad are going through it a little bit worse than me, so I better toughen up.
Yeah, what's hoodie weather for you?
I like to wear hoodies a lot. I think you need a hoodie, at least a light one in the 50s, but once it hits 60-something, you really don't need it.
Yeah, but you didn't talk about the bottom end of it. When is it too cold to put something over the hoodie?
If you're putting something like a jacket on and it's 45, you've been spoiled with weather your whole life.
Just say the word soft, because that's what I am now. I'm a Midwest kid who's lived down here in the South too long. Who are you as a wide receiver?
I think I'm an all-around player. I think that, I can play all positions inside and out. I think I have a high football IQ. I'm cerebral. And I think I'm a guy that makes plays.
The two quarterbacks you'll work with most, I would assume, Graham Mertz and then DJ Lagway. Give me the scout on both of those guys. How are they similar? How are they different?
Yeah, I mean, they're both extremely talented. And like me and Graham talked about it, like both coming into really similar situations in high school, being highly touted guys. And the great thing about DJ is he's obviously immensely talented. Everybody knows that. But his approach every day, like his work ethic is really good for his age. And I think a lot of guys that are talented kind of think things are going to come easy to them. And from his first week, even in the tough Wednesday workouts we had in winter, his ability to attack every single rep has been really impressive. And I think he's going to be a big-time player for the Gators.
Do wide receivers have to be selfish?
Yes and no, right? Like you, I feel like you have to inherently have that feeling in you that you want to be the guy making the play. But when I think you can really have the best team and have the best room is when guys are happy for other people's success. And I think we have that. I love watching Trey Wilson make a play. I love watching Baby J go up top. I love K-Jack going across the middle, having a diving catch. I love, all the guys just being able to perform. Watching guys like Alex Gonzalez go and make a play, guys like Edgecombe going out there and having a dive and catch on a chop route. That's the kind of stuff that, you need in a room, you need in a team.
You didn't play on a 5-7 team here at Florida last fall, but now you are a part of that too, or at least the turning of the page to the next chapter. How does a guy like you or the other newcomers to the program participate in a memory that you weren't a part of and setting your own course at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin is a program that has high expectations too, just like Florida. So I've underperformed before and had to come back and respond to that, right? And I think it's a privilege to be at somewhere like Florida that has that high expectations for your team, right? People can see that as pressure, but You know, it's an honor to be able to represent the university that has so many greats. And the only way to get back to where we want to get is to, you know, approach every single day the right way and work hard and be focused to where our feet are at. So I think we've been doing a great job of that. You know, we, Coach Napier said, we capture momentum. We've got to keep it. We got to keep building and keep building upon what we've had through spring ball. So I'm excited to finish up spring ball, you know, get in the swamp and then head into the summer.
So Dad's from Nigeria. He meets Mom while they're both students at Wisconsin. So you're a legacy as well. First of all, what was it like growing up in a household where both Mom and Dad were at Wisconsin and Badgers through and through?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. You know, being able to grow up in not only a great, you know, home environment, just, you know, seeing a great sports environment made me appreciate it. You know, I think that's why I can appreciate a place like Florida from the outside looking in, and then now on the inside, is because I see how passionate their fans are. I see how successful this program is. And, you know, one of the things, I've said it before, but one of the things is when you go to Florida, anything's possible. You know, it's been done before here. And, you know, having to uphold that standard is a privilege, and I'm excited to be able to do that.
So when you went to Mom and Dad and said, that I'm leaving your alma mater to go to Florida, what was the reaction?
Yeah, I mean, they want what's best for me. I'm super, super privileged to have two great parents, and something about me is they always want me to chase my dream and never be afraid of it or shy away from it. I think when you limit yourself, that's when you know, you end up falling short. So for me, it was just being in the best situation to you know, get myself to the next level, and Florida was that place, and being able to impact a football program and help make it better.
I'm sure you've thought about this, and if you haven't, you're going to be one of the most unique people to have been a player at two institutions that have two of the greatest fan participation things at football games. Jump around at Camp Randall and then won't back down. You'll get to witness later in the year at the Swamp. Did you think about that at all in this process, and are you eager to experience that one too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm blessed to be able to play in the atmospheres that I've played in on Saturdays is something that you'll remember for the rest of your life. So I'm very excited and thankful that I was able to do that. And Graham told me about that tradition here at F4. He said the first time he got goosebumps. So I'm excited for that. I think being able to be in the moment and enjoy kind of all the things that come with being a college football player is something that you can't miss out on, because it won't happen again.
You know, Graham said he got goosebumps with that. You know, sometimes we all think that you all on the field don't feel the situation. What's it felt like when Jump Around comes on at Camp Randall?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough, right? Because you're going in the fourth quarter, and it's hard not to feel those emotions, right? And I think it's just understanding and channeling that in the right way. You know, it'd be foolish of you not to use the fans and their support to your advantage. That's why home games are hard for opposing teams, right? But at the end of the day, you still have stuff to get done. You still have stuff to focus on. So take a couple seconds, enjoy it, and then, you know, get back to work.
I called a game there years right before COVID, actually, and I just remember waiting all game to get to that moment, and then actually feeling the building shake. It was pretty unreal. What else did you do when you were growing up? What other sports did you play?
So I played a bunch. I played soccer when I was really little. Then, you know, as I got older, I kind of stuck with, you know, football, baseball, basketball, and track. So did a little bit of it all.
I hear you're a bit of a golfer too.
Yeah, I started golfing 2 years ago. I really enjoy it. It's kind of a competitive outlet. I used to play all those sports, and football's my only one now. You know, can't really play basketball as much as I want. Too many sprained ankles and stuff like that. And golf's a little easier on the body and lets you get that competitive juices flowing.
Boy, the timing's pretty good, isn't it? Orange and blue game on Saturday, Masters on Sunday. Are you going to be dialed in?
Yeah, I'll be dialed in. Hopefully I'll be out on the course too, being able to get better. So, you know, hopefully Monday I'll be out there maybe.
Maybe so. You know, the chairman of Augusta National is a Gator.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you can make some calls for me, I'd appreciate that.
Well, I think that the line is long, and most people are not ready to make that phone call. Great meeting you, and have a great weekend this week at the Orange and Blue game. We're excited to see you here in Orange and Blue.
No, I appreciate it. I can't wait. It's gonna be a really good experience.
Go Gators.
Go Gators.
Well, this is my first time in Mike Holloway's office, and when you get to the office, all you notice at first is the number of trophies over here at Florida Track and Field and Cross Country. The Hall of Famer, Mike Holloway, has a big weekend coming up. We'll get to that in a moment. First of all, congratulations on another great start to the outdoor season. You've got the men ranked at number 2 and the women at number 12. You must be pretty pleased.
I'm pleased, never satisfied, but you know, we've gotten off to a good start. Still got a lot of work to do, but I'm very very happy with where we are right now.
What is characteristic of this group this year, Mike?
I think right now what I'm seeing out of them more than anything else is just a consistent work ethic. And they understand that our charge is to be ready in May and June when it counts the most, and we're building towards that. Nobody's panicking. Nobody's, you know, overly concerned about what's going on right now, but they're working hard in preparation for the end of the season.
Forgive me for not knowing the intricacies on this, but when you can get a men's team ranked at number 2 in the nation right now, that is a combination of what to earn a ranking like that?
I'll be honest with you, I don't pay much attention to those rankings. The only rankings that matter to me are the ones that come out after the NCAA championships. But I mean, it's based on just the depth of your teams and you know the how many you know how well rounded your teams are as far as what events. And we cover a lot of events on the men's side, and on the women's side, we just haven't opened up a lot of people yet. So I'm sure those rankings will go up over the next few weekends as well.
Speaking of opening up folks on your roster, we're talking about what? Well over 100 athletes, is that correct?
About 95.
95. How do you keep track of 7 assistants, a training staff, a nutritionist, I'm sure, strength and conditioning, and over, well, nearly 100 athletes? Mike, have you learned the secret sauce for all that?
I think the big thing is just consistency. You know, you mentioned that word earlier. I communicate with everybody on a daily basis, and they understand my passion, they understand my plan, and they trust me and I trust them. And so I get reports from my assistants and from the nutritionists and everybody that and the trainers and the weight room staff. But at the end of the day, we're all a big team, and I just happen to be the guy to the straw that serves the drink.
Coach, your throwers are coming off of a big event. You've got an SEC co-field athlete of the week in Alita Van Dalen, and Kai Chung's coming off of a big weekend too. What is the story right now surrounding your throwers?
Well, I think the biggest thing is Coach Worski. You know, he came in and he followed a guy that was pretty successful here in Steve Lemke. And when he came here, you know, he told me certain things he wanted to do. And one of the events he wanted us to get better at was the discus. But he wanted the throws program as a whole. He wanted to help, you know, put kind of infuse some energy back into it. And he's done that. And I think the biggest thing is that if you have come out here and watch him train every day, other people might be surprised, but we weren't surprised at what they did at all because they've been working hard towards that.
Wasn't just but a week or two ago, you had another athlete of the week in the conference and Sean Bodie Dixon, who's a jumper coach. And when you look at that group right now, what do you see, including Sean?
I mean, that group as a whole is very talented. You know, they're very hardworking. I think the biggest thing is they all have a great relationship with Coach Peterson. He does a great job of keeping them toned into what we want to do. And I'm looking forward to watching that group the rest of the season.
There'll be a lot of folks to be able to watch your team participate and compete this weekend here on campus. Who else should they keep an eye out for in different events?
I mean, I think anybody in a Gator uniform, we're expecting big things out of. But, I mean, I'm not the guy that wants to put pressure on people and start predicting performances. But I think if you're a fan of track and field, this is not just about the Gators. You know, we're going to put the uniform on and compete hard. But this track meet this weekend will be one of the best, one of the top 20 meets in the world by the end of the year. So if you want to see a great competition, this is the place to be this Friday and Saturday.
The Tom Jones Memorial Invitational is a what kind of an event in track and field?
I mean, first of all, it's in honor of Coach Tom Jones, who was a longtime women's coach here. You know, not only a great coach, but a great man, great father and husband. And I think the biggest thing for us is it's a meet that showcases the talent, the best of the best at the NCAA level and at the world level. So it's a great combination of, you know, the young and up-and-coming and the professionals. And you know, you're going to see people like Grant Holloway, Noah Lyles, Toby Amundsen, I mean, Wade Van Niekerk. You know, there's world record holders. There's defending NCAA champions. And then, of course, there's the Gators here this weekend. So it's going to be a great competition.
So you're talking about some of the biggest stars in the sport and competing alongside collegians. Is that how this event really works?
Well, they'll be not alongside, but they'll be in different heats. But there's a professional section of stuff and then a regular section. But, it's going to be very, very exciting.
If you were to suggest to someone how to view an event like this, what would you tell a fan?
Just come out here, bring your umbrella, you know, get you a cooler with some water in it, and just sit back and enjoy the show.
I can't help but ask you about Parker Valby and the year that she's come off of, the National Track and Field Athlete of the Year on the indoor season. Obviously, we saw what she did in cross country back in the fall, too. What have you taken away from witnessing her career blossom as such?
Now, we've had a lot of great athletes here on campus, and Parker's another one, a long line of those people. And like everybody else, Parker's success has a lot to do with her attention to detail and training. Coach Palmer, Will and Sam have both done a great job of, you know, honing her in and helping her learn more about the sport and the progression through it. And I think the biggest thing that I've enjoyed watching is, you know, the excitement of the three of them when Parker does well.
With your experience, whether it be Olympic, the world scene, the international scene, collegiately, we talked about Parker, you kind of detailed some of her attention to detail. What are some of the other common factors, Mike, that you've noticed in world-class athletes over your decades of work?
Big-time work ethic. Yeah. You know, you can't be the best at anything and not work hard at it. And I've been around a lot of world-class people. I can remember watching Carl Lewis. I can remember watching, you know, Usain Bolt and Michael Johnson. And, you know, they show up at the track and it's all business. You know, they'll laugh and joke with you a little bit when it's done. But when they get there, they've got something to do and they get it done. And the great ones that have come through here have been the same way. You know, no matter who it's been, the people that have done the best here are the ones that come in. And as the young folks like to say, they get locked in right away.
Then there's still God-given talent, right? You know, the stuff that makes you raise your eyebrows.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, I mean, they all are very talented. But our job as coaches here is to help them, you know, realize that talent, help that talent come out. I tell my athletes this all the time. The world is full of, talented, unsuccessful people with talent. You know, let me say that again. The world is full of unsuccessful people with talent. So there's a lot of people out there that are talented that don't work hard. You know, I talked to them also about the capable versus willing. We're all capable of doing things, but how willing are you to hurt for it? How willing are you to go that little extra to be the best? And the great ones do that.
That's the mental side.
Exactly.
So what's the difference between coaching the mental side and the physical side is what?
I mean, there's really no difference. I mean, coaching is coaching. And I think from the mental side of it, it's just, you know, helping them understand and believe in themselves. You know, we've got a lot of issues in the world right now, especially after the pandemic with mental health and stuff like that. So we have to be cognizant of all those things in our coaching. At the end of the day, the talent was given by God, right? I mean, I can't make someone more talented. I can sharpen those tools, I can sharpen those skills, but I can't make them more talented. But I can help them understand that from the mental side of it, it's about preparation. You know, I call it practice doesn't make perfect, it makes permanent. You do the things you do every day, and then you just show up at the meet, and it just happens.
Do you still get to see things with your own eyes that make you go, wow?
Every single day.
Really?
Every single day. I tell the athletes sometimes, look, I've coached you before, and I don't mean I've coached that person, but I've coached somebody like them before. But, I mean, I've been doing this for close to 40 years, and at the end of the day, the athletes evolve. And you see different things. Like, I remember coaching Josh Walker and thinking, my God, what an unbelievable hurdler. And then here comes Caron Clement, and then here comes Grant Holloway. And, you know, you coach an Armand Hall, and then all of a sudden here comes Champion Allison. So if I'm old. I mean, I've been around for a long time, so things evolve. That athletes have just gotten better.
We'll get to the old part in just a moment. When you look ahead to the rest of the schedule here, Miles, when you think about what it would take to get another team into a national championship situation, what do you need to see from this group that isn't maybe quite there yet?
I don't think there's anything that's not quite there yet, to be honest with you. We haven't gotten that far. Right? So far, everybody's doing exactly what we need to do. The biggest thing, we have to stay healthy, we have to stay humble, and we have to understand that the championships aren't won. They're won now. We pick up those trophies in May and June, but the work you put in now, the attention to detail you put in now, that will lead us to championships. And right now, as of today, it could change tomorrow, you know, with 18 to 22-year-olds. But you know, right now, we're fine. We are.
You've done this for that long, and you still are working around 18 to 22-year-olds. Sometimes I question my own sanity doing the same thing. There's something, though, that, for me at least, Mike, is not just inspirational, but energizing about being around that group. Still the same for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's what I do. It's what drives me. You know, I love watching young people figure things out. You know, I say this to parents when they send their children here. We grow grown people here. You know, you're not just going to learn how to be a better athlete. You're going to learn how to be a better person. So shaping young folks' lives is what makes me very happy. So I get up every morning excited to come to work.
Tom Jones this weekend, still to come on this very track outside your window, will be the SEC Championships. What does it mean for you and your program to host that event?
I mean, that's an honor. I mean, and obviously it's we in the conference believe it's the best meet on the planet. You know, we make no bones about that, and we're definitely the best conference in America, and we take a lot of pride in that. And I think that, you know, we need to be ready to be gracious hosts, but we also need to be ready to compete at a high level. And so I'm blessed that I have an incredible staff here that'll make sure the meet goes off very well. But I'm also blessed to have a great coaching staff and a great team to make sure we're very competitive in the meet as well.
There's been some work put into the facility in order to host that event. What are the improvements around the track?
And we have a timing bunker. We have a covering down at the start line of the 100 where it used to be. We had to put a tent up, and this also comes very handy. The throwers really like it because it's down near the throws area, so it's a place for us to go high when we get a little, you know, rain or something every now and then. But we're just dressing up the place, and anybody knows this University of Florida, we don't do anything halfway around here, so we will make sure that, you know, the presentation for the championships is a great one.
It looks great. All right, let's get back to the old thing in a very respectful way. Which title do you like more, Hall of Famer or grandfather?
Not even close. I don't ever want to be referred to as a Hall of Famer. You know, it's a wonderful honor, don't get me wrong, but I don't want my legacy to be about, you know, those kind of awards. I want my legacy to be about a man that came in here every day, worked hard to make this program better and help people improve their lives. And I love my grandchildren, and they know that, so, yeah.
The smile across Mike's face as we visit here, you can hear only the audio. The smile is loud itself. What an honor and a pleasure. Good luck this weekend and the rest of the way, Coach.
All right, thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate it.
Welcome back to Ask the AD. As always, we're in the office of Scott Strickland, Florida's Director of Athletics. We've talked about the changes that are coming, Scott, with regard to the football season and the additions of Oklahoma and Texas to the SEC. We've not given the fans a whole lot of information about the new TV deal that's a part of all this change coming in 2024. I know that I'll miss the CBS theme somewhat for that prime game on Saturday afternoon, but ABC and ESPN will take over the television schedule. And obviously, other than finding the games on a different location, what else should we know about the change that will come with the shift in network?
Well, it is a significant shift. This will be the first fall since 1995 where the network over the air SEC package is going to be on ABC, a network other than CBS, because ever since 96, CBS has been our partner. And as obviously in that time, our league has grown quite a bit in stature and the success that the league has enjoyed, and CBS has done a great job of telling that story. But ABC is not going to be altogether a totally new partner because, as we all know, they're owned by Disney, which also owns ESPN, and they're part of the same family. And the SEC has a long history with ESPN, and whether it's having our own events on ESPN or ESPN2 or the collaboration with the SEC Network. So this really taking that 3:30 Saturday afternoon window, national window, taking it over to ABC really just kind of streamlines a lot of what the fans are going to see when they turn on the TV to watch an SEC football game, whether it's that 3:30 game on ABC or a primetime game on ESPN or another game on the SEC Network. Something to keep in mind that when CBS had the game, except for a one-off every year where you had one primetime game during the season, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for, in addition to an ABC game at 3:30, there's going to be an ABC primetime games. There's going to be some weekends. In fact, I would not be surprised at all if the first Saturday of the 2024 football season has a triple header on ABC of games involving SEC teams, one of which I expect to be the Gators hosting the Miami Hurricanes. So it's going to be a great opportunity. ESPN, the SEC Network still reach millions of fans, but nothing still has the reach quite like over-the-air network television does. And so to have ABC as our partner there, to have all the network windows, I think it's really just going to continue to enhance the brand of the SEC, and it's going to make it better for our fans.
Speaking of those network windows, one thing I'm excited about, I think the institutions wanted this to be a part of this new television package, is to kind of help us all out with regard to when the game might be kicked off. You know, sometimes you wouldn't know until 6 days away from that particular Saturday. We'll know now, Scott, and I'm hoping you can give some clarity to it, that at least we'll have an idea, a ballpark more so, about when games will be throughout the entire season.
Yeah, that was something that was really important for the league when we were having the conversations with ABC and ESPN to go into this new relationship, is we want to be able to let the fans plan as early as possible for when game times may be. And we've been so accustomed for the last two or three decades for these 12-day picks or sometimes six-day selections by the network where you don't know if the game's going to be at noon or prime time or somewhere in between. And so one of the things that is really going to be helpful for the fans is that this summer our entire schedule is going to come out. And if it's an early game, that 12 o'clock Eastern window, whatever couple games might be in that early window for every school in the league, we're going to know about it in July at the latest, maybe even June. But sometime this summer, we'll know when that game's going to be, and fans can plan accordingly. And then if it's in the afternoon window, that 3:30 one we mentioned, or primetime window, we're going to know about that as well. Some of those may have flex options where we may not know a specific game time or even a specific window, but we'll know it's either going to be an afternoon or an evening game. And then there'll be several of those that we will go ahead and be able to set a time for, or at least a window, a slot, afternoon or prime time. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, it's remarkable what we've asked of fans for the last 30 years to, you know, buy your tickets, plan on coming, but we'll tell you what time it's going to be in 12 days out. This is going to give the fans a lot more of a chance to plan, to look at hotel rooms, to look at all the things they need to do ahead of time. And it's something that no other league is doing. The SEC is really made this a point of emphasis going forward. And I got to give Commissioner Sankey and Charlie Hussey and everybody else in the league office, Mark Womack, a lot of credit for working with our network partner to emphasize this. And it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be another thing that's going to be exciting this summer as people start getting ready for football season, is whenever those slots are announced, it'll feel a little bit more real and people can even start making more plans.
Great insight as always, Scott. And as always, thanks and go Gators.
Go Gators.
It's time to bring this week's episode home. We'll do so by recapping the results of the Gators over the past week. To do so, University of Florida student Kenna McGinnis is back with Kenna on campus.
Thanks, Sean. Let's dive in. Gators Gymnastics lives to move on to the NCAA Championships after their performance this weekend. Florida Gym dominated the regional championships and will advance to the semifinals next week. This will be their 40th appearance in the meet's 42-year history. This year's regional championship is the Gators' fourth consecutive victory and 21st in program history. In track news, two Gators set school records at the Triton Invitational at the University of California, San Diego last weekend. Alita Von Dahlen reset the women's discus throw school record for the second week in a row. She's ranked first in the NCAA in discus throw after her strong start to the outdoor season. Kai Chang also broke his own recently set discus throw record, claiming the number one mark in the all-time top 10 list and surpassing a record previously held for 17 years. He stands at fourth in the NCAA men's discus throw. Florida lacrosse gained their 12th straight win last Saturday. The 10th-ranked Gators beat the East Carolina Pirates 19-7. They now look onward to their upcoming matchup against James Madison University on Saturday. Women's tennis is also on a 9-game winning streak after their performance against SEC opponents last Friday and Sunday. 13th-ranked Florida defeated Vanderbilt 4-3 Friday evening and shut out Kentucky 4-0 on Sunday. Men's tennis also brought home a win against Vanderbilt on Friday, outlasting the Commodores 4-3. The men's golf team finished out their regular season with a win at the Calusa Cup on Tuesday. This was their sixth tournament team title of the season, marking back-to-back seasons of six wins. Florida now looks to prepare to defend their title at the SEC Championships from April 24th to April 28th. Florida baseball fell in rankings and records this past week, losing on the road in their weekend series against Missouri and on Tuesday against FSU. The Gators lost to Missouri 2-1 on Friday, 4-3 on Saturday, and 11-10 on Sunday. And after seven innings in Jacksonville, they were bested by number 10 FSU 19-4. Lastly, Gator softball won its fourth consecutive series against SEC competition. They finished out their series against number 5 LSU with a walk-off on Monday evening here in Gainesville, 6-5. Unfortunately, 9th-ranked Florida lost to USF on Wednesday, 7-4. That's all for Gator sports news for now. This has been Kenna on Campus. I'm Kenna McGinnis.
All right. Thank you, Kenna. That's a wrap on episode number 30 of the Gator Tales podcast with Sean Kelly. All the information for Orange and Blue Weekend can be found at FloridaGators.com. And, of course, same website /tickets for those ticketed events this weekend, especially Gators baseball versus South Carolina. My thanks to our guests this week, Jim DK and Mike Holloway. We thank you as well for making us a part of your Gators Week. And a big special thank you to our presenting sponsors, UF Health and Pet Paradise. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button. Leave us a review if you'd like. Until next time, I'm Sean Kelly, the voice of the Gators. And as always, go Gators!